Welcome to the American Classroom. My name is Jared Taylor. I'm here with my host, Lindsay Croslane, and we are talking today about the topic of school choice. Hi, Lindsay. How are you today?
Good. Good morning.
It's going to be a great day because we have two of the best advocates in America for school choice. We have Dr. Barbara Duncan and Liz Dreckman. So I'd like to welcome them to American Classroom. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's December 2025, and we're gearing up for National School Choice Celebration coming up in January. So this is an exciting time to discuss school choice and all the options that families have across Arizona.
So, yeah, as we thought about this, and it's a special time of year also because it's America's 250th birthday anniversary, and that's a big theme for American Classroom coming up, and education of our children and helping them understand the great blessing it is to be part of this country is a big theme. So we're glad that you can help us kick that off. American Classroom, the whole point here is to elevate the discussion on the K-12 education, particularly in how it helps develop a civil society. As you know, our whole country relies on an educated electorate and citizenry to be functional. It just can't operate otherwise. So that's why we do this. And so we're just glad to talk today about how school choice contributes, you know, to the power of education and building a civil society. So before we get in there, we'd love for you to introduce yourselves to our listeners and tell us a little bit about how you got into the school choice movement. Dr. Duncan, do you want to go first?
I'm Dr. Barbara Duncan, and education has always been a passion of mine. I went to college to become a teacher, and then I moved on to be an assistant principal and a principal, and finally an assistant superintendent of schools, and I attained my PhD in educational leadership. And I was brought up in Connecticut, and they really didn't have many school choice options, and they really still don't today. It's really zip code driven. You have to go to the school that is in your zip code, or you can pay for the private school that is nearby. And when I came to Arizona, because of my husband's job, I landed a position in a high performing charter school. And I couldn't believe how fantastic this charter school was, and it was free. I believe all children have a right to a free, excellent educational opportunity, and I was sold on school choice.
That's great. Good story. Well, thank your husband that you came to Arizona.
Okay. I will.
I think that's fun. I think we crossed paths early or at some point when you're in that charter school, and you've done great things. So maybe we'll dig into some of those stories here. But Liz, tell us a little bit about your background and how you are how you arrived in the school choice movement.
Sure. I'm very glad Barbara came to Arizona, too.
Thank you.
I started out working at a think tank, and I tell this story a lot. I was an intern. I was filing, as interns do, and I read a story about a woman who used her sister's address to send her child to a different school. And it was in Ohio, and she got thrown in jail overnight because she had lied about her address. And I just remember reading it and thinking, this can't be the United States. Like, this can't have happened here. And just to try to get your child a better education. And I was in my young 20s at the time, and I'm like, that's it. I'm going to fix this. And, you know, two decades later, I'm still working on it. But I just, I worked for a think tank that was one of the early organizations to promote, you know, tax credits before they even existed anywhere. And I was just really, really torn about the idea that if you couldn't afford to move to a good school district, that your child didn't have the same opportunities. And so Barbara and I are both very passionate about making sure that every kid has those opportunities, regardless of where they were born, regardless of what zip code they live in, regardless of any disabilities they might have. And now that I'm a mom of two kiddos and have navigated that as a mother, I'm even more passionate about it. So it's definitely near and dear to my heart.
That's great. And where Lindsay and I are sitting, and Liz as well, in Arizona, we have roughly about 1.1 million children in the public school system. And a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we kind of crossed an interesting threshold with regards to choice, in that more than half of the children in public schools were in a school of choice. And that could have been a choice within their own district, or it could be outside their district, like a private or a charter school. But families want choice, and they want, and they're going to be able to make the best choice for their family. I mean, that is axiomatic now, whereas many years ago, you went to where you were assigned, right? Your neighborhood school down the road, and some states are a little further along that path than others. But I don't know, Liz or Barb, one of you, I'd love for you to just maybe take some of our listeners back in time a little bit and help us understand a little bit about the history of the school choice movement, or maybe some key milestones. When you think of the history of school choice, what comes to mind for you, and how did we get here?
Well, when I started in the movement, there was really only one state, and then it was two, that had voucher programs that allowed parents to pick a private school using a voucher. There were a handful of states that were starting to have charter schools, but it was a relatively new and very controversial idea. Arizona, I feel like, has been kind of a laboratory for school choice ideas, always the first to kind of promote tax credits, one of the first to have charter schools. And it's really been, it's really shown what a difference it can make in outcomes, especially for kids with disabilities, kids that are, you know, coming from low-income families. It has made the gap between kids that have and kids that don't. Their outcomes are way better where there are school choice options. So when I started in this movement, there were only a handful of states that had those options. And now I think at the National School Choice Week kind of planning committee meeting, there are over 35 states that have a wide variety of options. And almost every state has considered passing some sort of school choice program, even if it was, you know, just charters or magnet schools. So I think that's really a testament to all the work that's been done by groups across the country and parents.
And I want to also give some credit to Lisa Graham Keegan, because in the beginning, as a state representative, she was the one who really pushed forth with charter school movement. And then when she became the superintendent of public instruction, she really pushed for the STOs, for tax credits, so that the money would follow the child. And I don't know if people in Arizona realize how fortunate you are to have all these options and opportunities to find the right fit for your child to get that education, because still in Connecticut, we don't have it in Connecticut. It's still by zip code. And even if you try to become a charter school in Connecticut, it's the only state with a two-step process, meaning you can get approved, but unless the legislators pass to fund you, you do not start the charter school. There are schools that have waited 8 years and still can't receive the funding. So it's still very limited. And even with my own children, when they were going to school, I'll just tell you this brief little story. They went to school. It was a parochial school. It was full day. And the teacher sent home a note with 5 grammatical errors. I said, okay, this isn't going to work. If she doesn't know grammar, how can she teach my child grammar? So he said, let's go to the public school. My cousin's the principal of the elementary school down the street. So we went there. My daughter was coming home with, she would say, pre-K work today. And it was. I asked my cousin, how come there's no differentiation of instruction? And he said, well, you just have to wait for everyone else to catch up. And I said, okay, well, that isn't going to work for me either. So we started looking for a private school, which was our only option. We had to go 30 minutes drive, take out loans to afford this private school at the time. It was a teacher. I wasn't making that kind of money. And that's what we had to do to get that education. So when I saw in Arizona, all the options that you have, you can go to a STEM school, you can go to a school for the arts, you can go to a micro school, you can go to whatever fits your child's needs, and it's free. So school choice is a blessing for families. And I just am such an advocate with Liz to try to make this happen for everyone.
Now, that's
amazing. That story. Can you talk a little bit to our audience about what all those options are? You mentioned most of them, but do you want to kind of outline for Arizona specifically?
I'll start. Liz, jump in as well, okay? So you can go to your traditional public school, and there are some fine, fantastic traditional public schools for your child to go to. If that doesn't fit, you can choose an excellent charter school option. In Arizona, they have some of the best charter schools that are recognized in U.S. News every year as one of the best schools in the country. Or if that doesn't work and you want to go to a niche school that fits your child's need, like a STEM school, which is science, technology, engineering, the arts, and math, you can do that. If you want to go to a school of the arts, you can do that. If you want to go to a very small school, a micro school, you can do that. If you want to homeschool your child, there's that option as well. What did I leave out, Liz? Private schools? There's our private schools.
Yeah, we have first we had tax credit programs, which would pay for tuition at any private school in Arizona. That expanded to foster children, kids with disabilities, children of military families. And then Arizona piloted the very first Empowerment Savings Account program, which it was limited to certain populations of students at first, mostly students with disabilities. But that would allow people to either take the money and use it for tuition, or use it for tuition and tutoring or occupational therapy, or they could take the money and they could also homeschool. We have a really vibrant homeschool community that has existed long before any of these programs were here in Arizona and even across the country. Lots of people have opted to homeschool, even if they didn't have a program like ESA. But ESA is very unique in Arizona because it was expanded to a universal program. So now any student in Arizona can basically take their money that they would have received at their public school and kind of put it in their, we call it backpack funding, put it in their backpack and say, okay, the parent can say, this is the best option for you this year. I did that with my own children. The charter school that they were in wasn't fitting their needs. When we found out they both had learning disabilities, and we took our money and we went to a private school. My son is in a really awesome STEM school that does robotics and drones. And he's an engineering kiddo, you know, and it's been such a wonderful fit. He gained 2 years in math and reading in 6 months there, just because it was a better fit for him. And my daughter, she went to a private high school for 2 years, was a great experience using ESA. And now she's moved to a high school that is a charter at ASU and is able to take high school and college courses at the same time. And it's just like every time I have this experience as a parent, or kind of holding the hand of another parent and kind of walking through what their options are, you know, I just think about all of the parents in other states like Connecticut and other states that aren't as far along, and what limited options their kiddos have when you don't get another chance. You don't get another third grade year. You don't get another fourth grade year if a child can't yet learn to read. And so the sense of urgency is still there, even though we have all of these amazing options in Arizona and in other states. I still have that sense of urgency. And I know Barbara and I talk about this all the time, that those need to be available to all kids everywhere, because your needs change over the years too. What you needed in second grade might be different than what you need in 10th grade. So I think we've made a ton of progress, And I think all of those options are wonderful, but I wish they were available to everyone.
Yeah, my sister who lives in New Mexico, she has less options, but it's even different in within a family. You have, you know, some children might need to be homeschooled, some might go to the public school. So you could even within your own family, like you had pointed out with your own family, like attend different schools based on what your individual child needs and would thrive in. And so I think that's so important. I've had a similar, mine was less academic and more safety, but I had my daughter at a public school nearby my house, and she was getting bullied, getting injured. And every time I reached out to the principal 5 times, never heard back. Then I reached out to the teacher, and she would say, I'm not at recess, so I can't know what's going on. And I'd reach out to the recess attendant, and they would say, well, there's so many kids on the playground, I can't keep track of all of them. And so they would not, you know, it's like, I need you to keep my kids safe when they're in your possession, you're in your care. And so I found another option to end up being a small charter school that was a great fit. And academically, it was a great fit too for her. But yeah, for whatever the need is, if the current school situation isn't working, I hope parents understand, especially in Arizona, that there are a lot of choices available.
Yeah, that's great. And thanks for sharing some of the examples around the union. I hope our listeners that want more choice in their state know that they can do something about it, right? They can contact their legislatures. Yes, there is a major problem in our country with the vested interest controlling, you know, certain school districts or charter school thing. I mean, that's a problem nationwide, but parents do have an innate need for choice for their children. And they are in a great position not just to choose, but also to advocate for the additional choices that their state may be missing out that other states are benefiting from right now. Because it's just hard to say, well, you can just pick up and move if you want states, you know, more choice. That's a hard thing to say. Bring the choice to your own state and stay current with what's going on in the country.
I think one of the most interesting things I've seen in Arizona, over 10 years ago, we moved to Chandler, Arizona, and I remember one of the first pieces of mail we got at our new house was actually an advertisement from the Chandler School District saying, the choice is yours, and here's all the options we have in the Chandler School District. We have a magnet school. We have this school. You can transfer in between schools. And I just thought, oh my goodness, like we've arrived as school choice state when the public schools were kind of using that language. And I think that's one of the sad things that happens in lots of other states is it becomes kind of like the school choice people against the public school people. When in reality, if you see what's happened in Arizona, a lot of people have opted to go back to the public schools because their kids are in football or sports and they really want to be on an A-level team, or maybe they have drama and one of the private schools don't have such a vibrant drama program. We have amazing public schools here in Arizona, amazing educators, amazing leaders, and I refer just as many families to the public school options as I do to ESA or private school options because there's just that many great opportunities. And I like that a lot of people have kind of taken on that conversation and said, okay, how can we all have the same messaging? How can we help you find, you know, the best fit for your child or the best opportunity based on what they need at this time in their journey?
Liz, that's a great example because I got to know the school board at Chandler and the superintendent, and they made a specific decision as a governing body and a leadership team to say, okay, if choice is the new game in Arizona, let's win. And so you saw them start to diversify programs in their high schools and junior highs and elementaries. And 10 years into it, while other districts were whining and moaning about the competition and complaining and filing this and that, Chandler was winning in their own jurisdiction, and they actually were out bragging how there's fewer choices outside of the district because they're satisfying the interests of their families better by embracing choice within their district. There was a great mindset that they adopted, and I think that's a great lesson and takeaway if we have people in school leadership and in district school leadership to consider. Call Chandler, see how they did it. They did a great job.
I think competition is good. It helps everyone to kick it up a notch and to reflect on what are you doing and how can we make it better? How can we make it better for students? It doesn't matter whatever type of school it is. I've noticed that when other schools have moved in, that everyone's now trying to take a better look and let's really try to make our school better to attract the type of student that will fit.
Yeah, and not just for like K-12, but to integrate even college into, like Liz, you mentioned the ASU school that had the college, you know, credits built in. I have a child at Heritage Academy where they have a strong dual enrollment program. A lot of students graduate with their associate degree when they graduate from high school. The students that want a technical program, like we have Paul Revere Academy or people who attend EVIT separately, where they're actually getting their career certificates while they're in high school. I love that our K-12 system is now helping them beyond, like at an earlier phase.
What's interesting about states that have more choice is there's more confusion in some ways.
Yes, and, exactly. Yes,
you probably hear that from parents. And I hear it especially from people that move outside of Arizona into Arizona, and they're trying to make a decision. And, you know, American Classroom Podcast is affiliated with Heritage. And they said, oh, should I just go to Heritage? And I go, no, not necessarily. Maybe. I go, but, and I give them a little bit of advice on how to decide the right school. And if the conclusion is at a Heritage Academy, hey, great, we'd love to have you. If it's not, great, you found the best school for your child. But I'd love to hear, how do you help parents where they have that confusion kind of sort through it and so they find the right choice for their family?
I think that is, you know, as important as humans and organizations, that we kind of are constantly looking backward and forward at what did we do well? What are we doing now? What can we do better? And one of my criticisms of kind of the work we've done as a school choice movement is we've always kind of focused in these like one area at a time, or even fundraising grants have been directed at one sort of option. And so I think in some ways, all of us collectively as a school choice movement have done a disservice to parents when we have only promoted like, hey, ESAs came out, go get an ESA, or charter schools came out, you know, you should sign up for a charter school, because that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to fit that family that you're talking to. And so something that I really admire about National School Choice Week, and a reason that Barbara and I have been involved for 15 years with them really actively, is that we want all parents to be aware of all of their options. And I think that is both the power, and it's also a requirement of a successful program, regardless of if it's in Texas or if it's in Ohio. The ability of the parent to choose is not just key to making it work, but it's also key to it being constitutional. And so I used to work for the Institute for Justice, and we would go into each state that passed a school choice program and work with parents so they could intervene. And it wasn't just a discussion between a bunch of attorneys. It was actually about the families that wanted to use the program. And that was the crux of every court decision that has been made around school choice: is it the government making the choice or is it the parent? And the ability of the parent to make the choice not only is really important, they know their kid best, that's why we believe in this, but it's also key to why the program is constitutional. And so as a movement, I just think it's really important as we take a phone call from a parent that says, hey, I heard about these ESAs, or I heard about this awesome charter school, should I go there? Like, we really step back and we say, you know what? You are so lucky. You're in this awesome state of Arizona. that's a great program. ESA is awesome. Here's what it can do for you. But let me tell you about what the other options you have available. Oh my goodness, you live in this school district. You have got to go tour that public school because it's an A-rated school. It has great reviews from parents. So I think that that is kind of my message. And I know Barbara and I talk about this all the time. My message to kind of the movement is we aren't here to make the choices for the families. We're here to expose them to all the options that are available to them. And I think that helps with the confusion factor. If you can say, hey, you have 7 awesome options. Go check them out. Come back and we'll talk about it and we can help you walk through what might be the best fit for your kiddo. And I think that is really important for the family's sake, for the child's sake, but also for the larger kind of protection of what we believe in.
And Liz is right. So one thing that we do emphasize a lot with the families is when they pick the schools, and we say pick, you know, like you said, 7, 3, 4, whatever the number is, not just one, but go tour it and see the school in action. And then you will have a better feel of what it's actually like to see it, you know, when it's actually happening for your child. So that's something we highly recommend all the time. And but one of the challenges also is when you're in the urban center, if you're in a city like Phoenix or Tucson, you have many more options available at your fingertips. Some of the challenges that we still have, I believe, today is when you're in a rural setting, it's a little more limiting and hard to get access to all the options that are out there. So we really try to work with them in that type of environment as well to say what is available for you.
I have friends that have children at like a Chinese immersion school or a Spanish immersion school. And so even within those districts or charters, there's specialty schools like that, which are fun.
In a way, I look at schools as solutions or prescriptions in a way. And so I always say, make sure you know your choices. But first off, before you do that, put that aside, know your child. You know, what do they need? What are the programs or services or supports or their interests? What are the things that really excite them about education? Make a list of that. And only parents really can make a good diagnosis, you know, for the prescription. And then and then it kind of narrows down the choices. Oh, here's the one, you know, for my children's needs. Here's the type of school if they have these. And no school is going to match it perfectly, but if you can get 8 out of 10, that's probably the best choice for you. And I'd love, Barb, you mentioned about take a tour, right? It seems very simple. And for us, it's common knowledge. A lot of parents are not sure, oh, I can do that. I can go take a tour. Yeah, you can. They'd actually love for you to do that. And then you can, you know, ratify your decision that, oh, yeah, this is the best choice right now. And yes, you can change your mind later if things change, if the prescription changes or the solution you need for your family changes. But yeah, that's great. And don't follow the trends or the fads, right? Because yeah, what's the flavor of the month? And thank heavens states are rolling out new choices, but that doesn't mean we have to have a herd mentality and it's right for everyone. It's just another great option for families where they're missing that now.
I think when I just an aside, when I started this as a parent, you know, looking for a school for my daughter, I was so convinced I needed good academics and this long list of, you know, things that you thought made a good school. And to Barbara's point, when I have walked into a school, I have known immediately as a mother of my child, this would be a good environment for her or this would not. And the way that I found my son's school was, you know, even with all these websites and all this knowledge I have, and I know all these schools, I was at our School Choice Week event and I was not feeling super well. And I walked up the stairs and I was really slow because I was tired. And I heard this guy just really loudly say, oh, we have robots and drones. And let me tell you about this. And I got up the stairs and I was like, I don't know if you're a school, if you're a camp, if you're a club, whatever you are, my son needs to go there because you are so excited about robots And he is too. And I know wherever this is, he would love and he would thrive. And that's how I ended up at my son's school, was just because I knew that if he was excited about something that was there, then it fit something that he was interested in. And there were people that were really excited about it too, that he would thrive. And I think my kind of view and the way that I help families navigate over the years has really changed as I became a parent navigating it too. You could have the best school with the best academics and the best ratings, and they show up in U.S. News and World Report, and it could be a place that your kid just hates school because it's not something that they're interested in. Or maybe it's 8 hours a day of lectures and they really need to use their hands and get up and move around. You know, my son's success and progress in school, I really believe, was he was in a place that was wildly interested in tapping into kids' interests. And also it was a very different setting where kids could sit in a chair, they could sit on a couch, they could sit on the floor, they can move around. And that movement made him able to focus on whatever he was doing. And so I think parents overthink and they get so worried about picking the right option that they forget that they are the experts on their kiddos, and they will know when they walk into a place if it's kind of a good fit for their day-to-day needs. And so that's why we try to encourage them to go on multiple tours, to meet with families that are in the school, talk to parents who moved their kids there and see, you know, if it's been a good change or not so good change.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful. There's just so many options instead of just put them in the neighborhood school. But it's been fun to reflect a little bit about, you know, school choice, you know, 1.0, what that looked like. Go to where you're assigned. And now we have 2.0 right now in the U.S. And we hope that that expands to more states. If I was to ask you what school choice 3.0 looks like, what's coming up, how would you respond?
I would think that I would want everyone to have access and the opportunity, not just selective states, so that all states, all children, all families can have access. And right now, you know, we have some great states that really do, but other states, as you said, we still need to move them along. And Arizona is a model in which we can follow. And I truly believe that with all my heart, that they have put good laws into practice and good programs, the ESA, the STOs, and we need to champion those. We need to be the advocates and say and push for more of this so that all students in the country can lift our entire country up through whatever they decide to become, whether it's a career, whether it's college, whatever it is, we need to do that. That's what I'd love to see happen. Options for all.
No, that's great. Liz, how would you answer that question?
I agree with Barbara. I think if we could see kind of the wide variety of options happen in other states, and I also think, you know, this weird 5-year period we went through with, you know, COVID and then kids learning at home, parents really got a rude awakening of what school was like for their kids or what they weren't getting in school. And in a weird way, I think it kind of accelerated that process to 3.0. A lot of parents are like, wait a second, I don't have to send my kiddo to the school across the street. I should be able to, you know, find another option. Or maybe they're really good at math and they need to take a math class at a different school. And I think 3.0, 4.0 is really individualizing education.
Yeah.
Maybe a kiddo goes to a private school for, you know, half their day for their core classes, but maybe they're really into golf or they're into dance or gymnastics and they spend the other half of their week, you know, doing the sport or the thing that they're really good at. Or kind of to Lindsay's point, you know, there are a lot of students at my daughter's school that they go half day to the high school and college classes. And then the other half of the day, they go to EVIT and they learn a trade or a skill. And they're going to leave high school with not only credits towards college, but an actual skill set and a job that they can use to get them through life or get them through college or start a business. And I think that that's what I'm most excited about for kind of that 3.0 is let's not wait till a kiddo graduates from high school to figure out what kind of lights their soul on fire. Let's help them figure that out in elementary school and middle school, and let's help them get access to those opportunities, even if it's a club or a class or something after school. And that's why that kind of backpack funding idea is so powerful and would be so useful if we had it across Arizona, across every state, because a student could get their education piece, but they could also take advantage of the things that they're talented at and figure out, hey, do I love art? Do I love, you know, guitar? Could I get involved in the local, you know, opera or something in the time that I would also just be in school? And I think that is where we're headed. I think we're quite a ways away from that, but I hope that we'll continue to individualize every child's education so that they can access those things that they can get excited about and they don't have to wait till they're 25 to figure that out.
Liz, I like that. That's an interesting thought. And what came to mind as you were talking is, you know, we're affiliated with Heritage and this is our 31st year. Now, Heritage was one of maybe 60, 70 schools in Arizona, and we were, I don't know, third, fourth in the union. So my point here is that our first graduates their children are now coming through the system. And at least in Arizona or Florida or other places with lots of choice, what you're seeing is a whole generation with children coming in, and their mindset is completely different than their parents. Their parents only knew the neighborhood school model. But now we have in certain states, you know, the generation that is choosing, that is the norm for them because they went to a school of choice. And it's only, I think, going to give the school choice movement a lot of tailwind when they move to other schools that have a more constrained choice environment. Like, how come I don't have all these choices? Where's the magnet school? Where's the charters? Where's the privates? You know? And so I just think that because we have a good, you know, 30, 40 year track record with choice, I think that's going to expand because the generations are now looking for that because they benefit from it personally. I know when I talk to families, they just think, oh, the neighborhood school, because that's what I did and that's what my parents did. So that's what I'm going to do. That's going to change. And we're going to see that benefit the movement here quite a bit, in my opinion. But
yeah, when I was in high school, there weren't many choices that I was aware of. And then as my younger siblings, the most they could do was get a variance to go to another campus within a district that was maybe a better fit for them. And so there's been a lot of development, which is really fun to see here. I know I have a sibling in San Francisco, and sometimes they're restricted by the concentration of people or children in an area, but she's in like downtown San Francisco. And it may have changed in the last few years, but when her kids were in high school and junior high, you had to put, the district made you put a list of like top 20 schools, and then they just put you into like a lottery, and you ended up just, and not always siblings were together. And they put you at whatever school and there is no transportation. So you are responsible for getting your child to that school, wherever it was across town. And maybe you're on a wait list for another school that might be a better fit for your child. But seeing how other states do it really opened my eyes to the benefits of school choice here in Arizona. So
school choice week is coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the cool stuff that's happening, not just in Arizona, but all across the Fruited Plains and how people can learn about it and get involved.
Well, in Arizona, on Saturday, January 24th, we are having a huge National School Choice Week event. It's free for families, students, and schools to come and attend. It's going to be held at the Children's Museum of Phoenix from 6 to 8 p.m. So we encourage, if you're a school, to sign up, contact me or Liz, and you'll have a free table and chairs. We already have 75 schools signed up, so families can see the many different options there and talk to the staff and personnel and students. At this event, families can come and there will be free refreshments. They get to explore the museum as well. Face painting, prizes, photos, a balloon drop, a DJ, dancing. It's going to be, it's a big party and it's enjoyed by all. So we encourage everyone to come and attend. And then we, with Choose a School, also sponsor the National School Choice Week event in Connecticut. And we do that with the New Haven Public Schools, which does have some choice options. They have some magnet schools, and there are a few charter schools in New Haven. So last year, we had over 1,000 people come to that event. This year, it will be held on February 1st at Hill House. And we encourage families, again, to come to this fantastic event.
It is literally like our favorite night of the year. For the last 15 years, we've had, you know, balloon drops. We had an enormous cow that somebody was driving down the road and Barbara pulled over and was like, hey, can you come to our event? We've just had so much fun with the School Choice Week events. And the things that we're most excited about is School Choice Week is very ecumenical. They promote all of the options. If a family has no idea what their options are, they can go to the School Choice Week site and they can navigate those options for their specific state. And there are tens of thousands of events around the country, and they're all listed by state there. There's usually like a flagship event in a lot of states, and then a lot of schools will host, you know, tours during that week, or information sessions or rallies or things like that. So if someone is not in Arizona, or even if you are, you can go on to the School Choice Week site and see all of the events that are coming up in your state. And they're usually all during that week. And it's a great time to do it because that's usually when like the state legislatures are coming back into session. And, you know, all around the country, we can kind of tell the story of what this means to families. So if people want more information on it in Arizona, they can contact either of us and we're happy to get them involved.
And we also encourage individual schools to do your own thing because that's a great way to show your community what you actually are doing. And like Liz said, invite your legislators to see what your program is doing as well because we want to show them so they're supportive of what we are doing. But that's a great way to bring families and students into see your school individually as well.
Are there ways that they can get some school choice resources if they wanted to hold something local? And maybe kick out your website here as well, or ways to a great way to contact you. We'll put some things in the show notes as well. Anything that you guys want to add, we'd love to add that so everyone knows how to get a hold of you guys.
Yeah, we can post the links to the National School Choice website and we can share any of the links you guys have too.
Yeah, that's fun.
I know that two of our schools are participating in your event.
Yeah, School Choice Week will actually send kits to anybody that wants to host an event at their school. Scarves, signs, you know, little giveaway things. So if they register on that site, they will get kind of connected to all the resources that are available for that week forevermore.
Yeah, we have all the Heritage Academy campuses I know celebrate. They do like a pep assembly or the dance team does something special. There's a National School Choice dance that everyone can learn on their website for schools to do at their assemblies. Our Paul Revere campus celebrates National School Choice. We're going to have two of our schools at your event, two booths. We have a school that's half day academics, half day elite sports, and they'll be there. And then we have another campus that's going to be at your event. So we're really excited to be able to have a booth there and meet all the other schools that are participating. So thank you so much for putting that event on. We're looking forward to it.
They're always great. They're always great.
Do you want to say the date and time again for our audience?
It's January 24th at the Phoenix Children's Museum. And again, it's free. We usually have somewhere between 800 and 1,200 people there. They can enjoy the entire museum. It's from 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay, so if you're the lucky one that first listens to this on January 25th, just know that every January there's going to be a new round of awesome events. And you can go to the website. We're going to link in the show notes to look at the event calendar and how to get involved. And this is a great movement to get involved in. Giving choices, the right choices, the best choices for families is an unbelievable blessing that we have in America. And it is elevating the civil society that we have. And that's one of the great purposes of American Classroom. And so we're glad that you guys are here and spending this time with us. Let me just give you the last word. And what would you like to leave our audience with, or our listeners with? Any final comments?
Okay. I guess my final word would be that if you're a parent in a family, and if you are concerned about your child and you're just unsure about what school to go to, please contact us. We're here to help you. We want to help you to sort out and find the right option for your child. Everything is moving in the right direction, and we do want to bring more awareness, I think, to everyone about what we can do as a community to help.
Yeah, they can contact us on our Facebook page. It's Choose a School AZ. There's a message feature there. They can contact us. Also, our contact information is on the School Choice Week website. And I just want to encourage parents, you know, it seems so overwhelming, especially when you're looking for kindergarten or you're looking for a high school. You just really need to trust your instincts and trust yourself that you know your child best. And if you call a school and they're like, yeah, we can't do a tour, or you'll have to wait, or I'll put you on a list, that's probably not the place for you. Go where you feel welcome, you feel home, you feel like your child will be treasured and appreciated. And all of the other things, the academics, the details, you know, ask the questions, but make sure you find a place that you think your child will thrive in what they're most interested in and what kind of lights their soul on fire. That's what I always encourage parents to do. And come back and talk to us. Barbara and I both have been through this, both as parents and also helping families navigate, and we're happy to talk through all the options. And if you choose a private school and you can't figure out how you're going to afford that, we have options to help you with that. If you choose a public school and you need transportation, you know, we can help you figure out how to navigate that too. So there's lots of options available.
Awesome. Well, Lindsay, thank you guys so much. Yeah, this has been great. And we really appreciate your guys' time and for all that you're doing for school choice in Arizona and throughout the country. You guys are really making a difference. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having us. Yes, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. All right. Take care. If you like this episode, please like and share with someone who would find this interesting. We appreciate you listening to the American Classroom podcast today.
Thank you.
American Classroom is brought to you by Heritage Academy Mesa. Heritage Academy in Mesa, Arizona is a public charter school serving grades 7 through 12. Youth that come to Heritage are not just students, but scholars who are taught by the number one rated faculty in Arizona. If you'd like to learn more about Heritage Academy Mesa, please visit heritageacademyaz.com and click Mesa.